Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 184 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again. There's a ton of stuff going on. I'm sure that I'm not the only one noticing, but Canadian politics is a runaway train, freight train that's on fire and no brakes right now. So we have a huge political update with Tracy Wilson. I've also got some interesting stories from the road to share with you. The Liberals seem like they're pulling some dirty tricks on the CCFR. I got that for you. And of course, you've been waiting for an update on Operation Pitchfork. I have one of those updates for you, including a full release of one prong of the three-pronged Operation Pitchfork. It's at least part of it is finally done. So you're going to learn all about that today, among other things. So anyway, all that and more, the CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Ready, Aim, Shop. Bullseye North is where passion meets precision. Discover a huge selection of top-notch rifles, accessories, and ammo. Whether you're perfecting your aim at the range or gearing up for hunting season, Bullseye North has you covered with free shipping on orders over $300, including ammo. Some exclusions apply. Check out bullseyenorth.com and remember to subscribe to their newsletter, bullseyenorth.com. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR Radio Podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we're back. So I've got a couple of things to go over with you before we bring Tracy Wilson on, but I want to tell you this story about something that happened to me about a week and a half ago, pardon me. And I mentioned in the last podcast, I was invited to be the keynote speaker at the Wild Sheep Society of British Columbia's Salute to Conservation at the Saturday night banquet. And I also was given an opportunity to talk to the life members at the Life Members Breakfast on Saturday morning. This is a week and a half ago from when you're watching this, or 2 weeks ago. And, you know, the Wild Sheep Society of British Columbia. So big shout out and a massive thank you to Kyle Stelter and Mike Southern and all the rest of the team over there at the Wild Sheep Society of BC. I just really appreciate the opportunity to talk to those guys because they're there for wild sheep and wild sheep conservation and to prevent predation and, you know, to maintain access to habitat, all the rest of that stuff, not to listen to the gun lobby rail on about how they're losing their guns, even though that's exactly what's happening. So I appreciate that. So anyway, I had this chat and this analogy that I used, I just wanted to share with you because I think it's just really, really illustrative of where we are right now. So I said to the guys, And during the banquet, the keynote speech at the banquet, there's 600 people there, right? Really successful organization, thanks to the people that I just mentioned. But basically, I'm telling them, like, when it comes to gun confiscation, okay, think of it like a big, long lineup of guys. 2.4 million people standing in a big, long line, okay? Now, at the front, you have collectors and sport shooters and action shooting people, right? They're the tip of the spear. They're the ones in the crosshairs of the government, like today, right? Because their guns are scarier and somehow depicted as more dangerous than everyone else's. And at the very back, the last guy is sort of Grandpa Joe that you hear being talked about once in a while, right? The guy that maybe inherited the three firearms he has, and he's got two bolt actions, you know, one's a 22 Cooey and an old Weatherby bolt action rifle in, you know, 30-06 Springfield and maybe a lever. Maybe he's so aggressive as to have a pump action 12 gauge for, you know, to protect his livestock. Okay. And then from Grandpa Joe, right at the back of the line, about 2/3 of the way up the line are hunters, basically. People that maybe, you know, half of that 2/3 don't own any other firearms other than the ones used for hunting, and they only use them a few times a year. That group of people sitting at the back of the line are looking up at the front going, that's never going to be me, right? You know, I don't even know what's going on up at the front, but there's probably a reason why the government is destroying those people up at the front. You know, nobody needs a handgun or an AR anyway, right? And so it's very easy from the back of the line to say that when you're convinced that you're never going to be at the front of the line, that your guns will never be taken by the government or deemed too dangerous to own. And you know what? 5 years ago, I would have agreed with them. They're right. They're right to think that too. Right? A separate issue is whether or not they should stand in solidarity with people that are really not that much different than them, because someday it might get to them. That's a different issue, but they're probably right. Their guns never would have been under threat. Now, fast forward or reverse from today on May 1st, 2020, when the government said, hey, we're banning a bunch of guns. Nobody needs an AR-15 to take down a deer. I guess unless you're the government and you're from New Zealand and you have suppressors and full cap mags and you do it from a helicopter. But other than that, you don't need an AR-15 to bring down a deer. This is the upside down world that Canada is. But anyway, whatever. Set all that stuff aside. But when they banned all these guns, they described them to the Canadian public so that the Canadian public would support them in this completely malevolent, horrible action. And they said, these are firearms designed to kill the most amount of people in the shortest amount of time, for soldiers to kill other soldiers, designed specifically for a military purpose. Guns that are so dangerous, they have no use and no place in a civilized society, no less. It's a Bill Blair favorite, right? But that's what these people have said. They're describing these firearms as follows. So keep that in your mind. Now, fast forward to what? Christmas time? This past Christmas? The December 6th gun ban? In there, they banned basically every semi-automatic 22, other than a handful of them, like the Ruger 10/22, the Mossberg Plinkster, and a couple others. The rest of them are banned. Are these firearms designed to kill the most amount of people in the shortest amount? Are they designed for military purpose, exclusively for soldiers? Of course not, right? And if you look at, they banned some shotguns, any rifle over a 460, doesn't matter what the action is, right? Too dangerous to own. Now guys are starting to lose a lot of guns, right? That only had hunting rifles. And then if you look back and you look at what they tried to ban, they fully intended to ban the Ruger number one and a bunch of other ones, right? But they fully intended to ban the 1908 Brazilian Mauser, a bolt action rifle that only ever came in one caliber and was banned not by muzzle energy. These gun groups will lie to you, look you right in the eye and lie to you. It was banned by name. Okay, over 115-year-old bolt-action rifle that came in 5x57mm Mauser, never came in any other caliber. So the fact is only the 10,000 Jewel, only a 50 cal version. It's like, you morons, go look it up. It's 115 years old. Don't try to gaslight me. I'm not buying it. So anyway, all that to say, these are the guns they're banning. Forget about what they're saying. Look at what they're doing. So how much of a reach is it for them to ban your Lee Enfield, like literally this month? How much of a reach is it to ban your Remington 700? That's a sniper rifle in active use in a modern military, the United States military, the M24. It's still in active use in the military. You're not at the back of the line anymore, guys. You are at the front of the line. People like me, I've already lost everything. I'm out of the line. I'm still fighting because I'm hoping to get my stuff back, but I'm out of the line. You're right at the front. The government is at your front door. They just haven't rung the doorbell yet. And it's any day where we are here, right? So you have a government that has lied to you over and over and over again and banned more and more and more. Why? For, well, they don't think you should have guns for what, and read into that whatever you want. But a government that is afraid of their own citizens possessing firearms, there's a problem there somewhere. And I don't think that's unreasonable to say. And the other thing is, you're worthless to them. The only thing that you're worth is as a political pawn. So if they can scare urban voters by saying, like, we're taking these people are a threat. By the way, they're probably on the hate map over at antihate.ca. You know, they're against gun control. So they're a hate group. Like, they'll do this. They will turn on you like nothing, like a rabid dog, if they think they can get a handful of votes out of it. That's why they're doing this stuff. And guess what, hunters? You're next, because the overwhelming majority of you are not going to vote for them anyway. It's nothing to them to turn your life upside down, destroy your heritage, and deprive future generations, your children, from enjoying that property and living the way that you did. It's nothing for these people to end that. And so I didn't put that fine a point on it, because a lot of times more moderate hunters, like, it's too negative, right? They don't want it all, you know, coming down on them. But it's like, there's a reason why I was invited there, despite my depressing message, because it's real and it's happening. And a lot of guys over there, like Mike and Kyle and quite a few people over there at the Wild Sheep Society of BC, they know that. They know it. So anyway, I just thought it was an interesting visual of all of us standing at the line, the guys at the back looking up there, and they're like, why is the government after them? They're probably doing something they shouldn't do anyway. You know, so it's probably for the best. And you know what? The government, once they take all those guns, that'll satiate their hunger to take from people from taxpayers that are paying, from vetted citizens that are the contributors, the enablers of this entire system. The actual foundation that holds this whole system up are people like gun owners that pay taxes and get a criminal record check every day and abide by the law and play by the rules and go to work every day and try to be upstanding citizens. Why? Because they don't want their guns taken. There's a reason why. They're probably thinking there's got to be a reason why the government is being predatory to those people. They must have done something. They must possess something that shouldn't be possessed. And it's like, no, they don't. They're doing it for their own reasons. And you're next. Anyway, okay, I beat that to death, but I just think it was really important. The other thing I just wanted to mention, and this is really important, is I'm only one person. There's no way for me to know everybody that contributes or helps the CCFR somehow. And when I don't know, when I bump into somebody that has contributed, made some kind of substantial contribution to the CCFR, and I don't know it, I feel ungrateful. And it's just something I can't control. I'm just like, how come I didn't know about this? There's no possible way for me to know about it, right? But anyway, I met this couple and I want to take a second to recognize them. And it's Amanda and Richard from Integra Tire in Hundred Mile House, British Columbia. And I met them. They were sitting at the table that I was sitting at with Mike Southern there. And, you know, they had donated the money to have all these challenge coins made for the Wild Sheep Society to auction off in order to help the CCFR. And when someone makes a substantial donation like that, it was a substantial amount of money. And I'm like, man, how don't I know about this stuff? But there's no way for me to know, because I don't have the hours in the day that would be required. I can't keep up with what I have to do as it is. But anyway, so when I do bump into people like that, I like to give them a shout out. So if you need tires and you're around the 100 Mile House area of British Columbia, you know where to go, because those are people that are like you and like-minded and are doing, putting in there what they can, they're contributing what they can to protect our identity and our way of life, right? So anyway, thanks Richard and Amanda for that. Really appreciate all the help. Okay, that's what I wanted to cover with you. Let's get Wilson on the Skype.
Are you ready to fight for your ability to legally own and use firearms in Canada and save hundreds of dollars in hunting and shooting merchandise? Download the CCFR mobile app right now. Keep up with what's going on in the community, watch the CCFR podcast, and get exclusive discounts from dozens of gun stores and other CCFR business members. Download it right now from Google Play, the Apple App Store, or the cancel-proof Progressive web app. The CCFR mobile app, free to download right now.
All right, we are back, and we've got Tracy Wilson from the CCFR, apparently. Wilson!
That was a really good one. It's Tariff Tuesday. Hi, Gil Taka.
This is going to be prickly, I think.
Yeah, It will be. Yeah.
So we got a lot to cover, and there's a lot of politics because politics are really important to us, being mm-hmm. that's our issue. And that's our solution right now. And it's a real mess, you know? So I think you and I are both going to try to, temper our comments to focus on what the task at hand for us as a firearm organization, right. At least, so that we don't get caught up in this ridiculous political whirlwind that's going on right now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
All right. Well, let's take a run at it. So the first thing we're going to chat about, I think, was the liberal leadership debate, which was interesting for a bunch of reasons. Why don't you start us off with that?
Yeah, that's right. So the leadership hopefuls for the Liberal Party of Canada had two official debates, one in French, one in English, both held in Montreal. And it was really interesting to watch. It wasn't like any other political debate I've ever seen. In fact, they were helping each other. They were shielding each other. You know, liberals on Twitter will say that, this is because they're so respectful, you know, and they're all on the same team. But yeah, even Freeland even helped Carney. He made a mistake in the French debate and in saying that he agrees with Hamas, and she immediately corrected him. So, you know, if you were looking for a really engaging debate to see the difference between the candidates, you would be sadly disappointed because they were all the same. They basically all said the same thing and spent the entire time shielding each other.
Well, you know what? You know what's interesting about that is that leads me to believe, and, you know, not that I'm some kind of conspiracy theorist, as it were, but you'd almost think that everyone knows what the outcome is. And they're mm-hmm. like, we need to protect the person that's already been, you know, put in that position. And then you have mm-hmm. you have people like, what's her name? Carina Gould, who has yeah. no chance of winning at all, coming up with $350,000 to show up and know full well she's not going to win. And then play the game with all these people. I don't know. It's almost like they're all like, okay, well, just hand Mark Carney the ball. Don't make sure that you protect him. Don't ruffle him up because people are going to pull this footage up later, right? Because right. those leadership debates can be pretty nasty, and all that stuff gets pulled up later. So mm-hmm. I don't know. That's it's a little weird to me. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, they talked about a variety of topics, you know, that are top of mind for liberals. But what was really interesting to me was what they didn't talk about. They didn't talk about the rising crime and violence. They didn't talk about armed home invasions. They didn't talk about the loose border or national security. They didn't talk about smuggled guns. They didn't talk about bail reform. You know, basically, they mostly talked about Trump. And it had this feeling, instead of being like a leadership debate, it was almost like an audition for a role in a cabinet under Mark Carney. But
well, that's sort of what I mean, because it was yeah. just like, well, here's an opportunity for us to get, you know, whatever, an hour or 90 minute commercial for the Liberal platform and to redirect the national conversation away from, you know, getting your door kicked in by armed thugs and, you know, massive immigration where they've got all this fraud with these international students or whatever, which create this demand for services, which means you wait in line endlessly for anything. Like they didn't want to cover anything that regular Canadians are concerned about, can't find a doctor, stuff like that. But
yeah,
and they all helped each other. And that's why I'm saying it just really looked like a big liberal commercial and an attempt to redirect the attention of Canadians to just be accustomed to their platform.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, the Liberal Party will choose their new leader on March 9th. But really interestingly, a couple of weeks ago, they had tweeted that 400,000 new Liberal members had signed up. And of course, it's free to join the Liberal Party. Now, we know that there was this kind of online movement between conservatives that they were signing up to vote for Chandra Arya or Ruby Dalla. Like, there's some stuff going on with that, right? But right, as it stands now, less than 25% of Liberal members have been verified. They've got this really complicated process through a Canada Post app or something to verify yourself in order to vote for leadership, because of course it's ripe for interference. So less than 25% have been verified, and even less have even voted. Voting is open now, and they're not even voting. So right now, it looks like you've got about 50,000 Liberals we'll choose the next prime minister of Canada out of 40 million people. So,
yeah,
just, I don't know, lunacy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're, we were talking before we started, started recording, about what a mess Canadian politics is right now. Like I'm, you know, I threw a few things up on X here and there. And other than that, like I'm not even looking at it anymore because it's just, it's a total clown show on all fronts.
Mm-hmm. And, oh yeah.
Anyway, speaking of the clown show, there could be a possible election. It seems that this it's the consensus that there's going to be an election soon.
Yeah, that's right. So like I said, leadership closes for the Liberals on March 9th, assuming that Carney is going to win, which seems to be the consensus everywhere. He may immediately ask the Governor General to dissolve Parliament and drop the writ. I know I was reading Brian Lilly. He had quoted sort of this leaked statement that they're looking at March 16th as the day that an election is called, with voting just after Easter. So Easter Monday is on April 21st. That means we'd likely be heading to the polls April 22nd, which brings us to 38 days of a writ period. So interestingly, also, there's a by-election called for Halifax for April 14th. Now, this riding has been open for a while, and Trudeau waited to the very last possible moment that he was allowed to call for a by-election. So he did call for one. But if the writ drops in the general election, then that by-election will just be rolled into the general election and won't happen at all. So, yeah, I would believe that we are definitely going to be going into an election this month.
Well, if the Liberals were as smart as they think they are, they would call an election as soon as humanly possible, because this is the most seats they're going to get. And I'm not going to claim that the Conservatives are doing things right. I think there's some mistakes being made, but that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. But that stuff will end up rectifying itself over time. So the longer they wait, the longer they're giving the Conservatives an opportunity to regain the lead, right? Because the polling has been terrible.
Yes.
So, you know, anyway, that's probably one of the areas I think you and I are just going to avoid, because certainly I feel like I just want to not believe that it's happening, but it is, it's our reality and we got to keep pushing. And that kind of leads us to, well, with all this political stuff that we talked about, what now? The what now part is we need to pull out all the stops. And I think for some people, they need to hold their nose, especially if you are a single issue voter, sort of like me, because that single issue, the firearms issue itself, it's symbolic to every other aspect of Canadian life. If you can't trust your citizens, vetted citizens, right? And we're not saying no regulation, but if you can't trust your citizens with guns, there's probably a problem somewhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think the message I'm trying to pull out of myself is, you know, there's a lot of different political issues happening right now. We cannot afford to get divided. We cannot afford to let what the Liberals are doing actually work. And we got to stay united and we got to keep pushing forward, because, you know, there's really only one play that can actually get us our stuff back. Everyone knows what that is. So we just got to keep determined, keep your eye on the prize, keep your mind on the mission. The mission is the most important thing. And then after we end up accomplishing our mission, then we can look at things differently and make corrections where we need to. So I don't know if that's the best way to put all this stuff, but you know, I'm feeling that pressure too.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk later on about some stuff that individual people can do. You're not helpless. There's all kinds of stuff we can do. And yeah, it's going to be all hands on deck, everyone working towards the same goal. So yeah, busy day today. I think, you know, at time of recording anyways, today was Tariff Tuesday. The United States has applied tariffs to Canadian goods. Canada applied retaliatory tariffs. And now Trump is saying that he's going to retaliate equally on those. So I think, what did you call this? This is just a big, what did you call it?
I can't remember. I say all kinds of stuff.
It was like a pissing match with a gorilla or something.
Oh, yeah. It's a pissing match with a 1,000-pound gorilla. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a tough time. There's also some something new. It's something old, but something new as well. The gun blog broke this news this morning, actually, that there's an OIC that was dropped. Now, this is to implement a measure from C21, which has already received royal assent. And this is the yellow flag laws. So for those that don't remember, this is the measure to temporarily suspend a PAL when there is reasonable grounds to suspect that the person is no longer eligible to hold it. The poison pill here is that anyone can target any PAL holder and there's no opportunity for that PAL holder to defend themselves. It's not a, you know, you may suspend their license. It's a, you must suspend their license. Excuse me. So that is ripe for abuse. Ian Runkle did a video on this and called it the swatting law. And interestingly enough, the Liberal government has announced $4.5 million in funding for organizations or groups to promote the yellow flag law, to promote educational information about this. So, of course, those groups would be anti-gun groups, and it's a great way to funnel money into them. So $4.5 million is up for grabs from the Liberal government to promote a swatting law that could potentially see a lot of gun owners get themselves in trouble by no fault of their own.
Well, that's the nuance of lawmaking, right? You have to figure out there's a cost benefit, you know, analysis that you have to consider. How could this be abused? How can this infringe on people that haven't done anything? And the government's just like, you know what? Forget the other side. Forget the careful thinking, the sober second thought, as they call the Senate aspect of it. Let's just, you know, do everything for a partisan purpose. And that's why people are angry about this stuff. It's not rocket science, but so that's no good.
Yeah. Now a lot of people are talking about this on social media, you know, as if it's a new measure. And I mean, I guess technically it is, the implementation of it is, and the use of an OIC in this instance is technically the appropriate use. That's what an OIC is for implementing measures on a bill that's already been passed. However, it doesn't mean that the content is any good. So yeah, we vehemently oppose this. And in fact, most women's groups opposed it. In the end, they ended up supporting it and now they're going to get a bunch of money. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just, that's a really great opportunity for people to play dirty tricks on each other.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, speaking of, liberal dirty tricks, we received a letter from Elections Canada a couple of days ago, and I've been dealing with it, and the CCFR is under investigation it's non-compliance. And what it was I did some work on this yesterday, but I looked at, and this was for our third party advertising back in 2019.
Not the last election, but the one before.
This is the interesting thing, right? So this is from 5 years ago, and we are probably, I don't know, what, 8 days away from an election, maybe.
Yeah.
And now it's a problem. It's just very interesting to me, right? It's like they had 5 years, no issue. Even when we filed our audited, you know, statement, that which you have to do as a third party advertiser, no issue. But now it's a problem 5 years later, right on the eve of another election. But anyway, we're dealing with it.
That's not stinky at all.
Well, yeah, right. And I also, I haven't got to talk to the investigator because we're under investigation now, right? Which is-
Oh, sounds serious.
I think in that election, we spent 21 grand. So they're going to blow the lid off of this scandal, that's for sure. But I've narrowed it down, looking at what their complaint was. I've narrowed it down to, we forgot to put a number in one box, which is a box in section 2B. And then I looked at all of the other people during that election that had amendments to their application because they missed that box too. We just never amended it. And it's like the Canadian Nurses Union, there's a whole bunch of them that didn't get that. I don't know if it was.
So it seems like it's a common problem.
Yeah.
I wonder if everyone else is under investigation.
It totally is. But anyway, so.
Speaking of messes, you may remember last week, I leaked out a plan that the Liberals had to announce that they were going to add some guns to the banned list. And I provided some details that were absolutely confidential. And then the morning of the day that I said that they were going to announce a new list, they chose to hold off. Now, I'll remind everyone that this isn't actually new either. Back in December, on December 6th, when they announced, I think it was 324 rifles that they added to the ban list, the minister very clearly stated that there would be another list and they'd bring it forward in February. Well, it's March now. They've held off. There's a lot going on. Hopefully they hold off longer. But in any event, I'm not going to, you know, cry about a ban that didn't happen. I think it's great. And we'll see what happens. But I don't know. There's so much going on politically right now that I'm hoping that that just trucks along the way it is. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, and by the way, it's interesting. You know, nobody can understand why gun owners are angry. But if you remember, because I did this speech at the Wild Sheep Society of British Columbia, and I talked about that in the intro. But as part of that, you know, I have to sit back and I have to think and look back at all the things that have happened and whatever along this whole journey of 9 years. And people wonder why gun owners are angry. What the gun bans that we've been experiencing, like just, you know, around Christmas, this one that they're probably going to roll out any day, anything that happened after Bill C-21. If you remember, you know, Goody Hutchins and all the rest of these literal clowns were stomping around Pam Damoff and all the rest of them. It's like, it's my understanding there's still 29,000 models of firearms that are still available. It's like, and Trudeau himself said, you know, yeah, we're going to have to ban some of the guns you use for hunting, but we're going to pay you for them and you can buy other guns. And in fact, and I'll even one up myself on that, during the hearings for our lawsuit, during the initial application, you know, the government's like, you know, we're not banning all guns that can be used for these reasons. And all of these guns are still, these other firearms are still available that aren't banned, that aren't on the list that gun owners so can buy. So this, none of this is unreasonable. And so, and this happened to gun owners back in the 90s, right? And that's one of the reasons why when I first became a gun owner, I don't want this to be too long, but this is interesting, right? To look back once in a while. When I became a gunner, it was like, oh, these guys are so angry. Why are they always angry? We got ARs and we got handguns. We got all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, you don't understand. You didn't live through it. Well, I'm living through it now where the government just says one thing. You know, you believe them. You go and you know, they haven't paid you for anything. You pry out another $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 in some cases, people that sport shoot, right? And you go take them at their word and they turn around, they lie to you and ban the rest of your stuff. And you're like, oh man, there's still two rifles. I'll go buy those. I'm sure they're going to pay me for these. They keep saying, they keep talking about this buyback. It's 5 years now. And then they turn around when you did that and they ban those too. And they're laughing at you. And they're wondering why people are absolutely furiously livid about this stuff. It's like literally an abusive relationship. So anyway, it's interesting the journey we've been on with them. And I don't know, you'd have to have a screw loose to not understand why gun owners are angry.
Well, and the problem is too, a lot of these politicians have said, you know, we had to ban that one, but just go buy something else. And how many times it's happened right to you where you go and you buy something else and then it's banned, you know, before you even get to use it, or you use it once or twice and it's banned. So continually adding to the list is, you know, that's just moving the goalposts, and it's totally destroyed the social contract that gun owners had with government, with law enforcement. And that's a bad thing. We don't want that.
Anyway, no matter how you slice it, these people are wrong.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons, not to bring this back to politics, but that's one of the reasons why I'm staying the course no matter what.
That's
right. You cannot lose your firearms under any circumstances. Like,
no,
that's just my opinion, right? And everyone's, you know, you can have your own opinion, but for me, no matter what, that's not an option. So
I agree.
At least for me.
I agree. I'm with you on it.
Okay. Let's move on. Operation Pitchfork update. So I know you've been waiting and I promised in the last podcast, but didn't get it. Now I've got something for you. So we are rolling out one prong of the pitchfork right now. And I'm going to tell you about that right now. So one aspect of this project is a new poster project. This is sort of one of the minor prongs. There's still two more there that one of them is almost complete now. So we can roll that out fairly soon. But this one is complete. So there's a bit of a story here. So I'm going to try to make this quick. This can happen for the podcast, but for the TV show, I won't be able to tell the story. But if you remember, we did our first poster project and we said, hey, the first 50 gun stores or firearm businesses that call us, we'll get this free poster pack. We'll send it to you at our cost. 300 requested. It was over 300. We sent all of them, which was great. We did that again in the second part of the, it was the Senate aspect of the Scrap C21 project where we did updated posters. Yeah. And you know how many requests we got that time? Like 50. Mm-hmm. So it was too much work for gun stores and for shooting clubs to send us an email and request that new poster. Just, and I get that sort of, I get it because there's so much going on and there's so much demand for our attention. And I know people are exhausted, but I was like, this is ridiculous, right? So here's what we're doing. We've got an updated poster. You're looking at it on the screen right now. And basically what this poster says is, look at what has happened. And the purpose of that aspect of the poster is like, look at how far we've come in the last 9 years. If you're a hunter, as I said in the intro, like you're at the front of the line. Like it's now your fight. I've already lost all my stuff. Sport shooters have already lost all their things. They're down to you. And I honestly didn't think it would ever happen, but they're at your front door now. So, and we need people to understand that. And then the second part is there's only one way to stop this at this point, because we're still suing the government and we still may get a decision any day. And the OICs could all be declared illegal and they would evaporate and we would get all that stuff back. But still, the only way is to win an election and get a party in that is going to respect you as an individual and respect your property. Now,
that's right.
Instead of waiting for people to contact us and send them a poster pack for free, we are sending 3,500 of these posters out in the next week or so to, wait a minute, I think I have the number. It's something like 860 gun clubs and gun stores. Sorry?
Yeah, 872 clubs and gun stores.
872, just shy of 900 clubs and gun stores. And they're all just getting them, whether they request them or not. So I guess your role out there, guys, is to make sure that in 2 weeks from now, if you're at a gun store and you don't see a poster pack there, ask them if they've received their posters and why they haven't posted them. If you're at your gun club and you don't have a poster in every range, because we're sending 4 to every gun club and 2 to every gun store, ask them like, hey, did you receive any of these? And if they didn't, just shoot us an email and we'll check. And if we sent it, then, you know, the club made a decision not to post that. And you can take that up with your club. And I'm not trying to put a bunch of pressure on people, but sometimes a little bit of pressure, people need a little bit of a nudge to act.
They do.
And the time is now. Sorry, I'm talking for a while. Go ahead.
No, and what I was going to say is if you're at your gun club or your favorite store and they didn't receive a poster pack, you can let us know that too. And we'll make sure that it gets out to them. So
you bet. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's going to end up costing $100,000+, but it is important that we get the word out, and we also have to keep gun owners focused. So there are times when you're not on your phone or you're not on your computer, right? Doing politics, you go to the range, at least you'll see it and be like, look at that timeline. Yeah, we have come a long way, and yeah, it has to stop. And yes, this is the only way. And of course it leads to a website, right? Because we don't just, here's a poster, be mad about guns. It's like, if you want more information, you hit that QR code, you go to the website, it's nomorebans.ca. And then you have some tools there. You can find out who your MP is. You can find out how your MP voted on firearm legislation. There's basically two ways that you can stop all of this. You know, all that stuff is there. And the poster does not have the CCFR logo on it. Again,
that's right.
This is not about, it's not a membership drive. It's not about getting, you know, people to go to the CCFR. It does say, in case somebody wants to know who printed that poster, it says that this campaign was paid for by the members and supporters of the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights, but it's small under the web address, no logo. And when you go to the website, there's an about there, but other than that, it's not a CCFR thing. So hopefully everyone will be excited to participate in that.
Yeah, I mean, there are clubs that support other organizations or have insurance through them, and that's okay. The reason for not putting a logo on it is so that there are no issues with that. We removed that. If that is an issue for your club, it isn't anymore. So, yeah. And if you go to your club or your store and you see a poster up, thank them for doing it. Thank them for taking part in this, because it's important that everybody does that little bit of effort. I know you're tired, but we got to keep going.
That's huge. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Draw some attention to it. Just like you said, thank them. And you know that business or your club is part of the solution, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that we didn't put any identifying information on the poster or the website, other than if you want to know who actually made that website, like, that's important. You know, that's a little bit of a lost opportunity for us as an organization, but we want everybody to participate. There should be no excuse. Anyway.
That's right.
There you go. Okay. So that's one prong that is rolling out. I guess, I don't know when the posters are ready, but probably by the end of the week-ish.
Yes, I would say so. These should start hitting the mail next week. So
yeah,
it's going to happen very quickly.
Yeah. 900 tubes with posters.
Yeah. I'm not excited about that part, but yeah, it'll be fun to watch them roll out.
It will.
I'll post some pictures so you guys can follow that.
Yeah. And Canada Post is going to be like, what's going on? What's with this mountain? Because I know we're kind of beleaguering the point here. I think we're 28 minutes in. But if you look at the box where the tubes come in, you know, like the empty tubes,
yeah,
you know, it's a fair size box, because one full box is like 50 tubes.
25. So there's going to be a 25. Mountain. Yeah. Of boxes of tubes. Like, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, like a literal mountain boxes. All right. Let's move on. Oh yeah. I want to give a shout out to some of the larger donations. I mentioned in the last episode that I would do that here. In order of amount. Again, I'm not going to say the amounts because I don't want anyone to feel like, oh, well, now you hold me up against these big donors and then, you know, we feel like we haven't done anything. That's not the intent. But in the order of magnitude, East Elgin Sportsman Association, thanks guys so much. Rock Cut Shooting Club in Ontario as well came up with a great donation. Really appreciate it. Assiniboia, I would think.
Assiniboia.
Okay. District Handgun and Rifle Club. I used to live in Manitoba, so I'm thinking Assiniboine. Is that a typo? But I guess not.
No.
Okay, in English, this is a Quebec club, Lower Canada Arms Collectors Association. I'm not going to attempt the French, but they're...
Come on.
What's that?
Come on.
No, I've embarrassed myself enough. And but the acronym in French is ACABC. So thanks so much for your donation. Really appreciate the help. We're shoveling money out the door like crazy trying to do these things. So this really is helping us. Shemanis Rod and Gun Club on the island. Thanks, guys. River Ridge Fish and Game League in Saskatchewan. Thank you very much. And David, as an individual, sent us a great donation. So we really appreciate all the help.
Yeah, we can't do this big stuff without big help. So it's really... really important.
This is the thing, right? Okay, let's move on. Whoops, that's the TV list. All right, Toronto Sportsman Show is around the corner. I would rather not travel and get my work done, but I will.
Well, it's important to see people, though. They want to see us, and we will connect with a lot of people there, so it'll be important.
Well, I'd like to whine a little bit more about it, if that's okay with you.
Fine, whine. Go ahead.
Okay, so we'll be at TSS. And we've got the booth. Is it in the same location?
Yeah, it's in the same spot. Just when you come in the main doors, the event runs from March 13th to 16th at the International Center in Mississauga. Free parking, which is really important. There's tons of stuff to do for kids and families. Our friends at SCI Canada have a little kids passport where they can go booth to booth and get things marked off and win a prize, which is super fun. This CCFR is proud once again to sponsor the Hunting Hall, and thank you to all the exhibitors who are exhibiting in that Hunting Hall. On Saturday from 12 to 2 at the CCFR booth, we've got the Gunny Girls there. So a bunch of Calendar Girls will be there. We're also going to split them up amongst Shooter's Choice and the Odell Engineering Canuck booth. So there'll be girls everywhere. at 2 p.m. You're on the main stage, Rod. So good luck with that. Everyone will want to come out and hear what you've got to say. And of course, all weekend long, we have a little contest going on in our booth. You'll have to come by to see how you can participate. But Shooter's Choice donated a crazy, beautiful beast of a rifle. It's a Winchester XPR Renegade Long Range in 6.5 Creedmoor. It's got a Vortex Crossfire V-Plex on it, Burst Tactical Rings, Winchester XPR 20 MOA pick rail, and a Harris bipod. It's like, I don't know, I think it was like a $2,400 package before tax. So yeah, somebody's going to win it. Someone's going to take it home on Sunday. It may as well be you if you're watching. So come by the show and check that out.
Well, thanks so much to Shooter's Choice. People are so good to us, and I can't tell you how grateful we are for all the help.
Oh, yeah. Just a great store, and he's just always looking for fun ways to help us. So yeah. Beautiful rifle.
Yeah, really generous. Okay. And then I'm also going to be at the BC Outdoor Show in Chilliwack, British Columbia.
So, yeah, March 21st to the 23rd at the Chilliwack Heritage Park.
That's right. Sure. So it's right down, not down the street, but you know, whatever. 10 minutes from the studio where I am right now.
Awesome. So. And then the following weekend, March 27th to 30th, I will be in Quebec City at the Quebec City Outdoor Hunting, Fishing, and Camping Show at the Centre de Foire Expo Cité. And I'll be there with the whole Quebec team, and they'll have their crazy laser range and all kinds of fun stuff going on. So yeah, if you're in Quebec, come and see me and say bonjour.
Oh, good work on the French.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't serious.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, the roundup.
Roundup.
Just to make sure that everybody understands, you know, we have to stay the course. Again, I know it's complicated, but just remember one thing. If you want to keep your guns or get your guns back, we got to stay the course. That's the mission. And it's very difficult because it's such a weird time in Canadian politics, but that's all there is to it. So why don't you give some suggestions, which I think most people have already heard, but anyway, really important that you hear this and that you commit to doing it. So go ahead, Tracy.
Okay. So the polls do not look great. We see that. I'm not blind to what's been happening, but the real test will be the election itself. And that will be very soon. Now, voting isn't enough. It's important that you get out and vote. It's your constitutional right. It's an obligation, but it's not going to be enough. You have to commit to putting in the effort leading up to voting. You got to talk to your friends, talk to your family, your colleagues, talk to them about everything that's going on and have that difficult conversation about who, you know, you can't tell people who to vote for, but you could definitely suggest. And then on voting day, see if you can get the day off. Now, I know not everybody can. I'm going to talk to my boss the best I can and see what's going on. But I'm going to try and get the day off, and I'm going to drive people to the polls. Because there are a lot of people who are in a situation where they simply can't get there. And not showing up is not an option. In fact, we want to hope that the other side maybe isn't super motivated to get out and vote. And we can absolutely shift what's happening. If you can, volunteer for your local candidate who's friendly to firearms. Spend some time door knocking. They've got phone calls that need to be made, literature that needs to be folded. There are signs to put up. I drive around the entire election time with a rubber mallet in my car, because how many times have you driven by an election sign that's toppled down, whether it's wind or somebody kicking it or whatever? I put them back up. Nobody asks me to do it, but it's important to do. These are all important things. When the final prong of Operation Pitchfork rolls out, if you're in an area of direct action, volunteer for it. And then also share some of the content that's going to be coming out with Operation Pitchfork. Share it everywhere. The most important thing you can do is increase your vote. I'm one Canadian. I get one vote. But between Colin and I and our kids and our friends and our family and our colleagues, you can grow that vote. Next thing you know, that's 40 people showing up, right? So there's power in that, and we need to make sure we get the vote out.
Yeah, and it means you have to make a commitment to yourself. Mm-hmm. That I'm going to do this, no matter how tired you are when the when voting day, you know, rolls around. But one of the best things you can do is vote early too. That's one of the things on the poster and on nomorebans.ca is vote early. Yeah. Because if you wait till the last day and you're sitting there, you're like, man, I worked all day long. I was on Twitter or I was on Facebook and I'm demoralized and all the rest of this stuff. And it's like, man, you know, my candidate's got it in the bag anyway. Like, not only did you not vote, but you didn't motivate others to vote. So set a high bar for yourself and really, this is the last opportunity. The Liberals are saying, oh, we're rolling out this gun buyback, which is a total scam. But anyway, I think we talked about that before and we're not going to get into it now. Maybe we'll talk more about it in the next episode. But they're desperately trying to at least get some guns and chop some guns up to motivate that vote. So it's happening. So if you don't stop it this time, it's done. They will roll it out right away if they win again. So.
Oh, they will. Yeah.
Yeah. And you won't be able to keep those guns and they'll probably send the police to your door. Who knows, right? If they think you have guns and you refuse to send them to the buyback, who knows what could happen? So it's just not a situation that we need to be in if we just put some effort in and show up at the polls and bring as many people and ask those people to bring their family and to bring their friends. Really important. Motivate them. Be the leader. You know, be a local leader in this, right? So
anybody in your house or in your circle or in your, you know, your area that's 18 and over, you got to bring them. Yeah. Like we got a whole slew of grown kids between us. So, everybody's voting.
Yeah. Like we're
boyfriends,
not talking
girlfriends, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we're not talking about, you know, illegal acts like abducting people that are over 18 to take them to the polls, but
it's nice to be held, just not hostage.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. Everything's on the table. That's a big thing that's going on right now. Everything's on the table. So
everything's on the table.
Just kidding. Yeah.
Just kidding. But just get out and vote and get everyone else out. You got to motivate them because here's the truth. Most people don't vote. That is a true statement. Most people don't vote.
Yeah.
We've never had big voting numbers. So we can sway it, but you got to show up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
And I wasn't advocating abduction, by the way. Just want to make that clear. Next, the Toronto Star, you know, it'll be like gun lobby CEO advocates abduction on voting day. All right.
When I pick you up from the airport for TSS, I am absolutely dropping a bag over your head and zip tying your hands. It's over.
Yeah. Whisking me to a fully disclosed location, which is the, what's it called again?
The Toronto Sportsman Show at the International Center. Yeah.
All right, cool. I think we've covered everything. Really appreciate all the information. And I guess we'll talk to you next time.
All right, we'll see you then.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 184 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everyone for watching. Make sure you share the podcast. When it comes to everything that Tracy and I talked about the election, you got to start laying the groundwork and building these plans with individuals and getting them to build the same plans in their social circles that we just talked about. So your hunting buddies, your friends at church, your buddies at the gun club in general, you got to start forging these relationships and making these plans. Like, hey, I'm going to have an election party. Come over, bring all your people, even your family members I don't know, all that stuff. You got to start laying this stuff out. We have to win this. It's not a choice. All right. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.